Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Dante Elefante podcast. I am your host. I am that guy. I'm Dante Elefante. This is episode 75 with Junior Mesa. A couple mistakes on the last podcast. I said it was episode 75. I may have even written in the thumbnail that it's episode 75, but no, that was episode 74 with Phone Boy. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Now it's episode 75 with Junior Mesa. If you're watching this, I am gone. I am no longer here. I'm no longer on this earth. No, I'm kidding. I am very much alive. I am on tour. Phoenix at Valley Bar, December 13th, San Diego Soda Bar, December 4th, Los Angeles, Jam in the Van. December 5th, San Francisco at Bottom of the Hill. December 7th, Sacramento at the Starlit Room. The 9th at Eugene, Oregon. We added a show. That's what we wanted to talk about. Hold on, let's get to the website here. You can get all these tickets at DanteElefante.com/tour. And yeah, we have tickets. We added some shows. December 11th at the Hawthorne Lounge, Hawthorne Theater Lounge in Portland. People have been asking, when are you coming to Portland? When are you coming to Portland? I'm coming to Portland. This is me coming to Portland. Saturday, December 11th in Portland, which I'm very excited for. Can we just talk about Portland? I love Portland. I've been going to Portland to play shows now since 2011. So now it's been about 10 years of traveling to Portland. It's one of my favorite cities. A fried egg, I'm in love. Ooh, they make their own veggie sausage and it's just the best. I'm definitely going there while I'm in town. That is like, I get a sandwich when I arrive and I typically get a sandwich when I leave. Oh, it has like this pesto sauce on it. It's so fucking good. December 12th, a Sunday at the High Dive, Seattle, Washington. If you're in Seattle, come hang out at the High Dive Sunday night, December 12th. December 14th is a Tuesday. We'll be at the Lucky You Lounge in Spokane. December 15th, the Shredder in Boise, Idaho. Come hang out in Boise. It's going to be awesome. December 16th, Kilby Court in Salt Lake City. Excited to be back in Salt Lake City. December 17th, the Coast in Fort Collins, Colorado. Let's see. Or December 18th, the High Dive. And then, oh, I need to change that. My website's wrong. And that falls on me. Ultimately, that falls on me. And then the Coast, if you live in Fort Collins, coming out the coast up. Either way, if you're watching this now, I am already on the road. If you're watching this now, it should be Tuesday. And our first show is in 2 days at Phoenix at the Valley Bar. We're going to do like a little session. We're doing a session with Wastoids. We're doing a Wastoid sessions and hopefully get to tour around Hello Merch. Shout out to Hello Merch, the company that's been, you know, shipping out my merch for me and handling all the making of the merch. And that's, it's going to be nice to actually see this warehouse and see what's being made. Hopefully they let me film. I'll show you guys as soon as I find out. Hopefully they let me film. I love San Diego. I've only played San Diego like a handful of times. But I have played, so this would be my second time playing Soda Bar. And all these dates are with Okie Dokie and Me Pal, if you haven't listened to either of those bands. Okie Dokie, one of the members, has a side project called Local Opener, and they were on the podcast. And Me Pal, I'll get her on the podcast. I'm bringing the podcast equipment on the road. So I should be able to record podcasts. Hopefully throughout this whole tour. If you know anyone, if you're a band in any of these cities, and hit me up if you want to be on the pod. If you got a record coming out, send it my way. I will be I'll be traveling around. And then we got some shows in January. Either way, just go DanteElefante.com/tour for all the details. And yeah, thank you. So today we have Junior Mesa. I drove down to LA. I had like 4 interviews scheduled and everyone backed out. Listen, I understand it feels like the pandemic is over, and I have to understand that everyone has busy lives now. No, you know, I can't just expect everyone to drop their plans on a Saturday to do this podcast. And I get that. And I totally respect that. And maybe it's on me. Maybe I shouldn't record these podcasts on a Saturday. People like to enjoy their lives on a Saturday. and not everyone has Saturdays off. A lot of musicians, you know, working part-time jobs, working wherever gig we can, sometimes you don't get Saturdays off, and I should understand that. I like Sundays. I like doing podcasts on Sundays. That's what I'm getting to. Ultimately, that's where I'm getting at. Either way, went to the gym today. It is Sunday. Oh, man, Cowboys are playing like shit. We've lost the last 3 out of 4 games. So, you know, football has been, haven't really talked about this year, but I haven't excited about it, but I haven't really talked about it. But other than that, I feel good. Let's talk more rock. Let's get to the interview. Junior is working on a new album. He says in the interview that he's 2 songs in. He doesn't have an album yet. I'm very excited for him. I've been loving these tracks. What's the song? What's Enough Part 2. I've been listening to that all day today. I think that song is so good. I was listening to it at the gym. Jenny and I went to the gym. And it's just a banger. Banger of a track. And go listen to Junior Mesa. He's just putting out more and more stuff. And it's awesome. Yeah, cool, man. Well, we'll keep it short. Keep it light. Enjoy the pod. Stay out of sight. I don't know. I guess it doesn't have to really rhyme. Okay, talk to you guys soon. Bye.
The Halloween show. Yeah. At the Moroccan Lounge is my first headline.
Oh, Moroccan Lounge.
Yeah.
That's right down the street.
Yeah. Oh. Is it really? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's like right down the street.
Oh, damn. I did not know that.
How'd it go? So you played. Okay. Let's just start it off. We're recording.
Okay.
We're going. It's live. Do you have dates to promote now?
I guess I'm going on tour next year, March. With Inhaler. Don't know the exact dates, but there's a lot.
Oh, in March?
Yeah.
Is it like wrapped up in South By kind of times? Are you doing South By or?
To be honest, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I was supposed to do South By last year, but.
Right.
But it got canceled.
Okay.
Because of the pandemic.
Oh, but, man.
But yeah, I got those shows. And then I just played my first headline show, the Moroccan Lounge, the Halloween shows.
Nice.
Awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Did people dress up?
Yeah.
Did you dress up?
I did. I was Cat in the Hat.
That's awesome.
I have some pictures I'll show you later.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
We also did New Year's. We did a Halloween show. The only date was available was Friday, which I was a little nervous about, but like Fridays were pretty good.
Right?
It was Halloween was Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And then so we played Friday, which felt pretty good because like there was a lot of competition. Like everyone was trying to do something that weekend. Yeah. And it was pretty crazy because that was like the first weekend. I don't know if you felt this too, but like it was the first weekend that felt like normal.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Whatever
that saying.
Means, you know? Like
it was like everybody like wanted to get out.
Yes.
And everybody was like almost okay with getting out, you know?
Right. And
like
being around other people.
Being around other people, yeah.
Yeah. Did you feel that? You felt that?
I definitely felt it, especially with like the venues like asking for the vaccination cards.
Right.
And then after that, like once you get in, it's like it feels, you know, like it used to feel.
Yeah, it feels like, okay, everyone in here is vaxxed or has a negative test, like
I'm not tripping, you know.
I can breathe right now. Yeah. Everything's fine. I can like take this off maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. Oh man. So I guess we could just start from the top. Let's just get from the very top. You do have shows coming up in March, but like where are you from?
I'm from Bakersfield, California.
Oh, from Bakersfield.
So, like, we're in LA right now. I don't know if they know that, but
yeah.
It's like 2 hours north.
Cool.
Yeah. Hour and a half on a good day.
When did you move to LA?
December something of 2019. So
okay.
So I guess I've been here for like almost 2 years.
Oh man. And you basically moved here right before the pandemic started.
Yeah.
So I had only had like 3 months of like normal LA life.
Yeah, I had like 3 months of like normalness. Even then it wasn't normal because like I didn't know what the hell to do out here, you know?
Right.
Like I was like, I didn't know anybody. I just had my roommates.
Yeah.
But they're cool. They're good people.
Your roommates?
Yeah.
How'd you meet them? Through Craigslist?
So I think all of them, they're Craigslist. No, wait, sorry. I just realized what you said. No. I'm sure there's some great people on Craigslist, but
yeah.
I've also heard horror stories. Anyway.
Right.
I met him on Backpage.
No, I'm just kidding.
I met him. They were actually all like either like very old friends from Bakersfield or friends that I was like, one of them was like a friend I had in like second grade.
Oh
yeah. And then
they all moved with you, or did they move already and you just joined last?
We all moved together.
Oh
yeah, like all of us just moved together. And then the one that I'm living with now, he was from Virginia.
Hmm.
So we all kind of just like wanted to move, wanted to get a place together, and LA was kind of like the spot we all wanted to be. So
cool.
That was cool. We moved to Boyle Heights. Yeah, and then the pandemic hit.
I feel like Bakersfield's like in the middle. Like you can end up in the Bay Area or LA. How'd you choose LA versus going up to the San Francisco or something?
Well, I guess I going into it, I don't know a single person in the Bay Area.
Okay.
And I just really know nothing about it.
Oh.
So that was kind of like the influence. Like a lot of the people that I was like collaborating with were from LA.
With music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were from LA. And also like I kind of like fell into like that Latino scene.
Mm-hmm.
So which wasn't intentional, but I'm glad that it found me.
Right.
You know, because there's a lot of love there.
Totally.
For our people.
I 100% agree. Like, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I haven't heard too much about that scene popping off in the Bay Area, to be honest.
That's true. It's like, you know, because there was, when I first started going to San Francisco was like 2008. And that's when I saw what the Mission District used to look like, where it was a lot of Mexicans. And there's like a lot of, you know, Spanish and Mexican restaurants and businesses
in the Bay Area,
in the Mission District, in particular.
I know nothing about it.
Right. So then it's crazy to go there every year and just see it change. Mm-hmm. And now the Mission District is like where Mark Zuckerberg lives. Yeah. And it's so fucked.
Yeah.
And, so I don't know. I don't know where that culture lives in San Francisco anymore, which would explain why it's,
they probably got pushed out, man. They probably got forced to move.
Forced
to
out. Honest. Absolutely forced out. But I don't know where it went.
Yeah.
I guess Oakland or Fresno. Even East Fresno. Fresno. I heard Fresno and Sacramento. I announced two shows and for some reason I can't play in Fresno because there's a promoter there who has a grudge and I can't play in Fresno.
No way.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Should we not? Let's call him out.
Or should we publicly shame him?
I don't know. Have you heard of Numbskull Productions?
No.
Well, that guy has a beef with me.
What's the beef, dude?
Okay.
Shoot, let's get into it. We're here.
The beef was my band with my old band members.
Yeah.
We played like a block party in Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
With Haim and like a bunch of other local people.
Cool.
It was Haim, Dante Elefante, and one more band. That's mm-hmm. what the bill was.
Yeah.
And then slowly they add more bands to the show. We were like, okay, cool. Awesome. This could be a sweet day. And Haim showed up late, which got everyone's sets pushed back, but no one told us this. And then while we were up there, they cut us off super early.
Yeah.
And we were like, what the fuck? Like, we were told a 30, 35 minute set.
Yeah.
Now it's like 25.
Yeah.
And we had like one song left. I was like, can I play the one song? The guy said, no. Can we play one more song? They're like, nope. Fuck. And then we also played like at 2 p.m. This is just a lot of details to say that like shit got really rowdy and out of hand afterwards.
Okay.
People were pissed. We were like, smashing beers and drinking them backstage and giving them to people on the, it was bad.
Yeah.
And basically the promoter got really pissed and I really give a shit, but like I am not allowed to play in Fresno I just can't play on his shows in Fresno.
Does he have a lot?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He's one of the main bookers over there in Fresno.
Okay,
but like, you know, the main point of saying is that I felt like a lot of people left the Bay Area and went to Fresno and they went to Sacramento. Because when I announced Sacramento, people were like, yeah, Sacramento. I was like, what's going on in Sacramento? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like inland California is as much as we get pushed out more inland, that's where some scenes are going to grow.
Yeah.
And we might not see it now, but places like Bakersfield.
I hope so,
Sacramento,
man.
Like... people won't be able to move out, so they'll stay there and build something. I don't know.
I hope so, man. I mean, I think Bakersfield needs some more scenes because there's two fucking scenes there. There's a punk scene and there's a country scene. Great scenes. But like, come on, that's not all there is in the world, you know?
I know.
Like, there's a lot of great shit out there. Like, I love how LA, there's everything.
Right.
You got the, like, jazz scene. You got the...
Right.
I mean, you also do have the punk and the country scene, but...
Right.
You know, there's a lot
everything
more.
Can live in LA.
Yeah, everything
so
can live in LA.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What was it like growing up in Bakersfield not playing country or metal or punk?
I mean, it was okay. It was like a lot of like conservative, like white, old people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so totally. That was like, you know, that comes
with.
Were
there places to play?
Yeah, there's like a couple spots. Like the famous one that like everybody knows is like, especially all like the punk dudes, like is... Jerry's Pizza.
Mm.
Jerry's Pizza. And then all the country people know about Buck Owens Crystal Palace.
Buck Owens Crystal Palace.
He's from Bakersfield, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the two spots you got to hit up if you go through Bakersfield. And we also have the Rabobank Arena, which is, you know, like stadium shows, but like I don't know. Nobody really cares about them. Like, actually, I watched Hannah Montana there, which is pretty.
You went to a Hannah Montana show?
Yeah, I was very young. I fell asleep.
Right.
Through. Oh, yeah. So I pretty much saw her like come on stage, and then when I woke up, she was coming off stage.
That's awesome.
But technically, I can say you, that you I saw Hannah Montana.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She had the blonde wig on and everything.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, man. Was that one of your first concerts you ever
that
went
was
to?
My first concert.
Yeah. Nice.
And the Jonas Brothers pulled up, but they didn't play. They just like came on stage.
Yeah.
They like came on stage and they're like, "We're really sorry, we can't play tonight." So blah blah blah. I don't know. But it's such a vague, distant memory, but
that's so funny.
Yeah.
I wonder why they couldn't play, and I wonder what that pays. Because it's just like, obviously, the Jonas Brothers just showing up for an event like that.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, you know, hey, we'll give you guys a couple. Can you just show up?
Yeah.
Or like, here's a grand. Can you just show up and like, because you'll be in front of her audience, but you don't have to play.
Yeah.
You just need to show up. Like, I'm trying to think of like the pitch that the Jonas Brothers' manager had to like pitch to them. You have to go on tour, but you're not going to play. Yeah. You just have to show up and say hi.
Yeah. I think it was like a showcase. Like it was like all the bands were there. Like I saw Bowling for Soup was there too.
Oh.
And I think, I don't know if the Naked Brothers band. Oh, that was Nick, huh?
That was more Nickelodeon. Yeah,
that was. They probably weren't there. But I remember a bunch of like Disney bands were there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first show I ever went to was NSYNC. Same thing, big Disney energy.
Yeah.
Like Britney Spears opened.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Shout out to Free Britney. Yeah, she's
Britney,
out.
Britney.
But yeah, it was very much the same thing. Like, how many Disney personalities can we squeeze onto this one tour?
Yeah.
And it's circled around NSYNC.
Yeah.
Or now Hannah Montana. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. But I think I had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I had a good time. I can't fully remember.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I fell asleep, you know? Naps are good for you.
Well, what was like that first show, you know, that got you interested in like making your own music or making rock music? Like, how'd you get from Hannah Montana and then like years go by? Was there a band or was there a show or what was that moment like?
Dude, it's cliche, but I honestly like Nirvana.
Right.
Like
what
happened was my grandpa had an acoustic guitar just like sitting there collecting dust kind of. And like I told him that I knew how to play it, which I didn't.
Yeah.
But because he thought I knew how to play it, he just gave it to me.
Nice.
So then like a week goes by and I'm like, I can't be a liar, you know? So
yeah.
So like out of like lying, I kind of picked up the guitar because I was like, I can't look like a liar in front of my grandpa. He gave me his only guitar.
Yeah.
So I ended up learning Lithium.
Oh, cool.
By Nirvana. And that was kind of like the start of it. And after that, it was like kind of like psych rock. Like I got into Jimi Hendrix.
Right.
And then there was like indie stuff. Like Mac DeMarco was like just starting like to, you know,
be a thing
right around then. So like, I kind of just like, I think it started with Nirvana.
Did you teach yourself?
YouTube. YouTube kind of taught me, you know, go through like how to play.
Yeah.
Nirvana, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like. So yeah, I never really had a teacher or anything like specifically, but I did have YouTube.
That's awesome.
And I've learned like pretty much all the most important things that in my life that have like done the most for me off of YouTube or the internet in general.
Oh yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Like if I think about like, you know, how many times I've Googled or YouTube how to tie a tie.
Yeah.
Like,
and then you forget like 10 seconds later.
And then I forget the next time. Like, cause there's some little times I actually have to wear a tie in life, but like by the next time I have to wear another one, I'm like, oh, how do I do that?
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea. And that happens to me a lot.
Just start inventing your own ways to do it.
Yeah. I'm just like literally tying it around my neck. Like at that point. Oh man. That's great, man. That's, you know, I think that's just like a generational thing where I didn't really have YouTube. Like I remember when YouTube popped up when I was in high school. I'm 31. How old are you?
I'm 22.
Yeah. So there's a big 9 year gap between us. And like, I didn't learn on YouTube. I had those Hal Leonard chord books, you know, those like, I was like looking through the book and like showing myself
learning
the chords.
The C and then the G and then the.
Totally. Yeah. And just like, as soon as YouTube came around, now I think of, oh my God, think about the kids today, like a 10-year-old right now trying to learn guitar. It'd be so easy.
Yeah.
It'd be like unbelievably easy to learn guitar. Like learn anything right now.
I feel like, back then, like you could definitely like want to learn something, but just literally just not have access to it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that still happens now, but at a much smaller scale.
Totally.
Like, if you want to learn something this day and age, like, especially, like, in America, you can.
Yeah.
You can. It's just as easy as Googling.
Have you learned anything else weird?
Yeah, like, my first, like, job, I was a graphic designer in like, high school. And I would half the time, I would actually do the jobs. But since it was online, the other half, I would just take the money and then not do the job. So I had a YouTube channel, like a graphic design YouTube channel.
Oh, cool.
And a lot of the comments, like, it's still up today if you go back through, it's like, this guy scammed me. This guy took my money. Like,
are you serious?
Yeah.
Do you still have a love for graphic design? Are you making your own stuff?
Yeah, like my Spotify banner.
I
did that. It's like a bunch of like these like glowy smiley faces and like, I have epilepsy, so I like like one of the things I do every day is I have to take like 3 pills a day.
Yeah, for the epilepsy.
To control my seizures.
Oh my god!
And so on my Spotify banner, you see like my epilepsy pills that I 3D modeled in Blender.
Whoa!
So I learned that on YouTube too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing, man. It's amazing the kind of things that like you can learn on YouTube, man.
Yeah.
Like, how?
And then video editing too.
And video editing.
I do like all my videos.
Dude, I found that video editing was easier than learning Pro Tools. I still don't know how to use Pro Tools.
Dude, I think I might switch over. I started FL Studio. Now I'm in Ableton. But somebody showed me some shit you could do in Pro Tools the other day.
That you can't do on...
That you cannot do in Ableton.
Oh.
I've been looking everywhere.
Oh.
And it's so sick.
What are you trying... Can you say? What can
yeah,
you
yeah, yeah. Okay, so... It's a little bit difficult to explain for me, but... Because I don't have the exact... technical terms.
Uh-huh.
But in Ableton, you can do, like, tempo automation, right? So you can have, like, a very, like, flowing tempo. You don't have to be locked in.
Right.
But with... Like a sample, like say me and you were jamming right here, right?
Right.
Like we were jamming right here, right now.
Live instruments.
Live instruments. We were recording. With Ableton, you'd get that jam session and warp our jam to Ableton.
Mm.
But with Pro Tools, there's tempo mapping and you can set where the bars are and all these things. And basically you can warp the DAW to our jam. Mm. So nothing changes about our jam. There's no weird quantizing happening.
Yeah, you just get the... It works to you. The clicks start like, oh, okay, right here is where it changes.
Exactly. So in Pro Tools, you'd have to go each bar as you'd click where the tempo should be, and then in between it'll guess the tempo. So like you can have a click going with your free time track, basically.
And what do you think is like the big positive of that? Because I feel like,
well, free time, man.
But
you're not locked in.
But why, you know?
I think for me, I'm really into like dynamics as a whole. So like there's like a volume dynamics and then there's like structure dynamics, but then there's also like tempo dynamics and just not being constrained and not being like, I mean, you can like a lot of the time I'll automate tempo changes in Ableton right now, but with Pro Tools I would way rather like be able to like jam and then automate the DAW to follow the
follow
jam.
You. Follow you. Follow the humans, not follow, us following the computers.
Exactly.
Yeah, because right now we live in a world where it's like either on the grid or not.
Yeah. I've been turning off the grid every time I jam on Ableton now.
Yeah.
Which sucks because I don't have a click, but at the same time, it's kind of liberating because it's like,
it feels more natural. It feels
more... I'm using
more,
my ear, not the... Right. Not my eyes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And then, because, you know, one thing I noticed, too, because my last record was, like, strict to a grid.
Yeah.
And it's all perfect and shit. And
me,
like,
too. Me, too.
I'm just like, no one plays like that.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah.
It feels fine. It feels good, but it doesn't feel like how it should.
Yeah. Even with electronic music, I find that my favorite electronic music isn't on a grid.
Yeah.
You know, like one of my favorite artists right now, Midair Thief.
Uh-huh.
Like it's very like you know, there's moments where you just it would be almost impossible to do that without either automating the click or just not using a click at all.
Yeah.
You know, or have like the Pro Tools doing the Pro Tools thing.
Yeah.
But it's electronic music and it has that like freeness to it and that drama that comes with like tempo changes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. So they have like a, of course, like anything, there's a subscription model to Pro Tools, which some people love, some people fucking hate.
Okay.
I've been paying for it for over a year and I've used it like 3 times. So I need to like turn it off at this point. But like, I mainly got it because I wanted to break down the stems on my record and put that on YouTube and like just screen record the computer and then like go through the stems and talk about it.
Oh, cool.
Which I still think is a good idea. I just haven't had time to actually do it. Yeah, you can just get Pro Tools on a subscription service and teach yourself it and YouTube everything you don't know. I think it's like, that's a good question. I think it's like 30, maybe less than 30 a month, I think.
Oh, damn. I'd way rather just pay it. Is it possible to just buy it?
You could just buy it outright, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd rather just do that. I'm not trying to pay 30 months.
I know. It's a lot, man. It's crazy.
I'll just save up, you know?
Just save up and switch over. People love Logic, too. I really enjoyed, you know, working on Logic. It made more sense, like, because I've had success with GarageBand, but, you know, it would just take it to the next level with more features. And I record on my iPad sometimes. Like, that's just what I like.
You know? Yeah. 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 iPad stuff. I've been thinking about buying one. I saw some guy put like, he had like a drum machine on his iPad, but then he put his iPad up to the microphone and then put a vocoder.
Oh,
so it was like the vocoder. It was like some weird process that was just like,
You could do some weird stuff.
You can do some weird stuff and make it like, you know. I think that's cool to me, is like finding ways to get to like express an emotion that's like, you can express motion through playing a drum machine on your iPad and recording it through your microphone and then having a VST open that's a vocoder, you know?
Yeah.
And you can, and that can be very heartfelt, and that's, but it's such an odd process of expressing that emotion. That's always interesting to me, is like weird ways of expressing.
Do you feel like you've always been more of a studio rat, or are you more of like a tour dog?
I hate doing shows, to be honest.
Really?
I don't hate it. Okay, that's a lie. I don't hate it. But whenever I'm like working on something other than like my project, like I love working on the videos, I love working on the music, I love writing. But then like when I have to work on a show, like rehearse or like plan it out, or like I always like, I can't help but feel like it's work, you know? Mm-hmm. That being said, I do have moments where I do enjoy playing, you know, it is fun. But yeah, I guess studio, I lean towards studio
staying
rat
in and studio, yeah.
Yeah, I love like writing and, creating the most above everything.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. I think there's something draining about performing live and in a wall I'm kind of hitting right now personally, like playing so much. And maybe it's just because I didn't play for the last 2 years. Mm. And now the idea of playing live as much as I am, like I have a lot of dates ahead of me. I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
What did I sign myself up for? This is going to like kill me like emotionally.
Are you doing like a tour right now? Or
yeah, I'm doing 2 weeks. I usually edit the at the beginning. I'll do like an intro in the beginning, but I am doing 2 weeks in December with Okie Dokie and Mae Powell, and that would be from December 2nd to the 18th. And then I'm doing another tour in January 11th through February 2nd. And then there's another tour in March, and I don't know what those dates are.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you excited for them? Or are you?
That's the thing. I'm like, I'm hype, but also like, come to the shows. People
exhausted.
come to the shows. I hope people show up. Yeah. Like that's like half of it. It's just like working on like trying to promote these shows and get the word out. But like also, oh man, traveling sounds like a mess right now.
Yeah.
And playing in the South sounds like a mess right now. Like I'm not super excited to go to Texas. I am excited to see the people because I know I do decently well in Texas.
Yeah.
But like I'm nervous about just like going to a grocery store and just like just being around random people, not people who respect art and understand, hey, this is how we're going to do things. If we want to keep the touring industry going, these are the steps we need to take. Get vaccinated, wear the mask, whatever. Yeah. I just don't think that rule is everywhere, or that like ethos is everywhere.
Yeah.
Where, you know, maybe the most punk rock thing is getting the vaccine. I don't fucking know anymore.
I don't know, man. It's like, I'm at this point where it's like, I just like would prefer not having to deal with. I would much rather live in a world like without COVID,
right.
You know?
Right. Absolutely. And,
without, like, even if all these crazy conspiracy theories are true, you know?
Right.
And on top of that, even if the vaccine does or doesn't kill me, like, the only people that are going to be survived, like, left are, like, Trump supporters.
Right.
And, like,
yeah. Like all
these crazy people that it's like, do I really want to live on a world with only anti-vaxxers?
Right.
Maybe not. You know, I don't know if this is natural selection, because maybe if it was, you know, natural selection, like,
absolutely,
maybe they would be the ones to die first.
Honestly, man, yeah.
I don't honestly, know. Like, I don't know, man.
I feel great. 6 billion people have gotten the vaccine already, and we all feel fine and great. Like,
yeah, same here.
Yeah, it's just I got the booster. Yeah. Have you gotten the booster yet?
Yeah.
Did you get sick from it?
Oh, wait. I don't think
you
I have
got the booster.
No.
Yeah, the booster.
Wait, I got two shots.
There's a third one.
Now. Oh, there's a third one. Okay. Yeah, no, yeah. I haven't got the third one.
I just got the third one, and yeah, it was pretty gnarly. I was like, you know, out for like 12 hours or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this sucks.
Dude, but the way your shirt is crunching, it looks like he has short legs. Like, watch, go back. Wait.
I don't know how I had it.
You have to. Maybe it's on the camera. But it looks so goofy. I couldn't stop looking at it. Yeah.
There we go. Brian Wilson, man.
So I'm sorry. What were you saying?
That's okay. I got the booster, and it was weird. I felt weird for like 12 hours, but other than that, I was good.
Wow.
Yeah, very chill.
You have like a headache, or you just felt sick?
I had the headache, and I was like warm. I was super hot and super cold at the same time, but.
Oh, damn.
There's a cat in here.
I thought I was tripping.
There's a cat in here.
I was like, I'm seeing something approaching.
Oh, come shit. Here, that cat loves love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very affectionate cat.
Aw. Whose cat is it?
This is the studio cat. The studio rat or studio cat?
Aw. I actually got COVID.
Really?
Yeah, I got COVID.
When?
A couple months ago.
Really?
Yeah. After I got the vaccine.
Right.
But I don't know. I felt like shit, to be honest.
You still felt like shit?
Yeah.
But you know.
I know.
Lower the risk, right?
Yeah, lowers the risk for everybody, and I'm sure it would have been a lot worse.
Do you think you got it? Like,
and I'm also young.
Where do you think you got it? Like at a show or at the store? Or could have been anywhere?
It's hard to say. Yeah, it could have been anywhere. But I know I for sure infected one person.
Oh, really?
which sucks. But it was my friend. And yeah. we both quarantined and everything.
Right.
I was out for 12 days, which was miserable.
Yeah.
But, you know. That's part of it.
Our guitar player got it.
Huh?
My guitar player
got
it.
Oh, no way.
And like, he hit me up. He's like, yeah, man, feeling kind of weird. I was like, okay. Because we were supposed to leave for Denver. Oh, fuck.
Scratched
the shit out of me, cat. He's like, I don't know, man, feeling kind of weird. I'm sure it's just like a little cold or something.
Yeah.
Do you think I should go? And I was just like, oh, man. I was just like thinking about it. I was like, we can't be that band that has COVID and just like fucking spreads it to every town we go to. And I was just like,
you're literally like, COVID on tour.
Literally the super spreader is us, man.
Yeah.
And so then, basically he did have it. And we went on without him and we're like, you know what, dude, we just need to take it easy and be safe and take care of each other. And we'll see you. We'll just play as a three piece.
Yeah.
And it was brutal as a three piece, dude. How big is your band right now? Your live band?
Sometimes we have fun with it and make it like the Halloween show we had two horn players, keyboard player, bass, two guitars, and a drum player.
Right, so big. So
we had a big band, but that was only for that show. But then, like normally, it's like the Beatles. You know?
Yeah. Four piece. Oh man, as soon as you lose one player and it turns into a three piece, and you're really Nirvana, you're like, wow, how did they do it?
Yeah,
this is brutal.
I heard the Garden plays
as two a duo. Piece. Yeah, just two of them.
But then they'll have like these backing tracks. But I think that's kind of sick.
Yeah.
I heard it's like really cool.
Oh, you've never seen them live?
Mm-mm.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really great. I've seen them like a handful of times through the years. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like, I know a lot of people don't want to use laptops, but it's like at the same time, like fuck it. Why not?
Yeah.
Why limit yourself, dude? Like,
yeah.
Fucking use everything.
Especially if they have like an energy just between them because they're brothers or whatever. Like, why mess it up by throwing another thing in there and it's working? And yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the hardest parts about, like, you know, because people are old. There's always good players. You can always find another good player. But finding someone who can mesh with all the other humans and, like, have to, like, you know.
Guess where you're trying to go.
Yeah. And even just being with each other out off the stage.
Yeah.
And, like, just hanging. Like, yeah. Being a hang. Like, that has to be, like, one of the harder things to navigate while trying to find someone. Like,
yeah,
how do you do that? Like, how do you manage that?
I
feel like you have a rotating band, right? Don't you kind of, or have you
kind
had,
of,
like,
not by choice, but
right,
kind of just by situation, like case by case, kind of, right. You know,
people are busy.
Yeah, people are busy. Excuse me. Yeah, I don't know. I just, my guitar player Sean, he grew up here and he knows a lot of players. Cool. So he's the only person that has played every show with me.
Oh, really?
I don't think I've ever played a show without him. So, but he knows so many players just because he went to school out here and he grew up in the scenes, and he kind of helps me build bands, and he kind of finds all the people and everything.
Oh, that's a big help. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm always looking for something, like, oh, I need a fucking bass player for this run. God, yeah. Who knows a bass player who can play? Like,
ask Sean, dude.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I will.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'll let you know.
Okay, definitely.
I'll give you his stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I'll follow him on Instagram. I always need to, like, find out where players are. People who are just, like, you know.
Dude, he should be a manager, huh? He might make some money like that. He's got, like, every player. I heard that that's what they do for, like bridal gigs.
Oh.
Or not bridal, like, wedding gigs.
Yes.
Like, they'll just be, like, some guy, like, that's kind of, like, their manager, but he has his business, and he'll have just, like, a list of hundreds of players, and it'll be, like, musicians. you, and you.
And then you're kind of, like, yeah. I have a friend who's doing that right now.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have, like, a big list of players, but he has, like, a core group, and they do, like, songs and whatever, mm-hmm. and then, like, oh, you need string players for whatever? Okay, we know some string players, and then it's,
yeah. It seems like a crazy gig.
It's a crazy gig because especially in Santa Barbara, wedding season never ends.
Yeah.
So there's always gigs. Like, every weekend there's
a
wedding to make money at.
Lucrative.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
big
yeah.
Big money.
Oh, yeah. Have you done any wedding stuff? Has anyone DM'd you? Hey, can you play my wedding? Can you do this?
I've had some people say they're going to play my song at a wedding, but I feel like for a wedding gig, sometimes you got to be like a shredder, you know? I'm not like a shredder. I'm more of like a songwriter.
Right.
Or producer. I think I feel like I might be producer above everything,
really?
To be honest.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like where I go in the most. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I've done a few wedding gigs and it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've sang while someone walked down the aisle like twice.
Oh, nice.
And that's stressful as fuck. Like, trying to like learn the songs that they want you to sing. And like, I don't do covers. I just wanted to write good songs, never learn how to play other people's songs.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it was.
What song did you have to sing?
Dearest by Buddy Holly, which was pretty easy. You know, Buddy Holly, three chords.
Yeah.
But like,
I don't know that song, to be honest.
Oh, it's great. It's a great track. It was just, you know, I don't know, man. I'm not good at I could barely remember my own lyrics.
Yeah.
Like, I really can't remember lyrics to save my life anymore. I think I used to. I used to be pretty good when I was younger, but now, fuck, dude.
Damn, dude.
I kind of thought about this the other day, like, oh, I'm glad no one really knows my songs.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know the lyrics sometimes. Like, I get nervous when I see someone in the crowd. Oh, you know these songs.
Yeah.
Damn it. Shit.
Dude, I did a jam in the van.
A
while ago, and I had this song.
Did that come out?
I don't know. I never checked. But I played this song that I hadn't even written lyrics to, and I was just like, like singing, like, but like I don't think you could tell because like you ever do like you're like you made a beat and then you just do like a one liner kind of like gibberish track.
Yeah.
Like that's what it sounded like. But like I think it was like a rock song. So I think you couldn't even tell.
Wait, what?
So I just like sang gibberish on Jam in the Van.
What? That's hilarious. Yeah. What was the thought process behind that of picking the songs for Jam in the Van?
Don't know.
Because you have to do like two or three.
Didn't think about
right?
it. I didn't think, oh, this is kind of like...
This is going to go on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't think about it. I was just like, I'm just going to sing gibberish on Jam in the Van to one of these rock songs. And I just did it. It wasn't fine.
It's a new song?
Yeah, it was like a newer song at the time. It came out.
But now you have lyrics for it?
Yeah. Yeah. It came out eventually. Cool. It's only on Amazon though. It's weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm not even really into the song, but you know.
It's on Amazon.
It's on it. That's why.
Yeah.
It's like Amazon exclusive.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Well, that's rad.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was cool, but at the same time, it's just kind of like.
Yeah. It's an original song?
Yeah.
Because I've seen those Amazon exclusives be like covers.
Oh, really? I don't know. As
Real Estate cover, the Doobie Brothers.
I know nothing about Amazon.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
Other than Jeff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jeff
he has
Bezos.
Bionic arms.
Yeah.
And he's got a bald head.
Yeah.
And he seems crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe narcissist?
Yeah, he's nuts.
Maybe.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Maybe most billionaires might be narcissists.
Yeah. I thought about buying a Tesla recently. And through the process of actually looking at it, I was like, damn, this is a cool car.
Yeah.
But then I can't get over the fact that Elon Musk is such a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So I didn't buy one.
Yeah.
There you go. It was it was just weird. It's like weird. It's like, yeah, I don't have an Amazon Prime account at all.
Yeah.
I'm very against Amazon, but yet I will still like look around and like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe
I need
that.
2-day delivery. Hold on.
Like, I know. Now it takes, I know. It's during the pandemic, I had an Amazon Prime account because you kind of needed one because I wasn't living, like nobody was leaving their house.
Yeah.
But then as soon as it like lightened up and I was like, fuck Amazon. fuck Jeff Bezos. Like, yeah. I'm back on this train. Fuck them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. So I didn't get a Tesla and I don't have an Amazon Prime account. I can't support those two guys. Those guys are insane. High off their ass.
Wait, do you have a gig outside of music?
Yeah. I do social media marketing.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I used to do it like as just like independent contractor work. Like if I used to do it for a music venue, a spa, a bar, like random stuff like that. But now I work for a company called Seymour Duncan.
Whoa.
And they make guitar pickups.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. That's sick. I did not know that.
Yeah. I've been working there
for... You get a lot of free pedals?
6 or 7 months now. I got some pedals, yeah. They gave me some pedals.
Damn, dude. That's sick.
Yeah.
How'd you get into... What is that, PR? Or what?
It's just like I run their Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And, you know, we make content for...
Do you try to like make them bigger, like grow their fan base, or
yeah,
you
it's
work
about
on that?
A big thing that like a lot of anybody wants, like if you hire someone's like, how do I get more followers? It's like, well, on Instagram is really like dumping money into ads.
No
it's
way.
Like, that's the only way to grow.
Wow.
And Instagram will admit that because they're jealous of TikTok, of how TikTok will just grow these people who are unknown and now they're influencer and now they're somebody. They were nobody, but they went viral and now they're somebody.
Yeah.
And that's how a platform stays fresh and young, is that they always have new people.
Yeah.
Where Instagram has suppressed all of our content for so long.
Yeah.
That it's stale.
Yeah.
And Facebook is dying and Instagram got stale and now they're trying to make it like TikTok.
Yeah.
And it's
they
crazy.
They even have reels on
now
this.
Yeah. Reels. Like who's really using that? But like people do. People send me reels. My friends send me reels all the time. Like, what are you doing? Get on TikTok. Like,
just get on TikTok. Yeah.
All the reels are just TikToks taken from TikTok and put on reels. Like,
dude, I really hope out of spite, TikTok adds like a photo.
Yeah.
Or like photo gallery or something. Yeah, you know?
Something like that. And
just
then
to
it's
like
okay.
out of spite, like kill Instagram real quick.
It could.
It could.
It literally could. If you could post pictures and like flyers and stuff like that, and have like have the comment section and stuff like that. Like, yeah.
But also it's just not as fun. TikTok, I think TikTok as it is like, is very fun.
Very fun.
If you added that shit, the Instagram shit, it's like.
Are you on TikTok right now?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as like you as like a person or you as your band, as an artist?
I don't even like watch TikToks really. Oh. I like my girlfriend will send me some.
Yeah, yeah.
She loves TikTok. She'll like make dances and stuff. But
nice.
I don't know if I even have the app. Also, my phone is like fucked up. So like it only stays on for 5 minutes at a time.
Oh my God.
So like,
how?
I don't know.
What kind of phone is it?
iPhone.
Like old one or
no,
new one?
It's like, I don't even have it.
That's right.
I didn't even bring it. But yeah, like every 5 minutes it'll just turn off. So it's like, it's not even fun to like be on my phone, you know?
Oh my God. Do you think it's time for a new phone? Do you want a new phone? Or do you
I didn't have a phone for a long time just because they drive me crazy, man.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think they're evil. I think just like the way I am, like I drive myself crazy with them, I think. And, they just, they stress me out, and I have such like my the way whatever my reptilian brain works, mm-hmm. like it gets so addicted to my phone.
Right.
So I don't know. I found it's best just to not even have one. Like right. Most of last year I had a flip phone, which was fine, but it was just so hard because everybody wants to text, and it's like fucking you gotta press three buttons to get to one letter. Yeah.
That's
which was annoying.
That was like my first phone. Yeah.
Yeah. And then most of this year I didn't have a phone at all, which my manager was very angry about. Not very angry about, but annoyed maybe.
Yeah, when they're trying to get a hold of you.
Yeah, trying to get a hold of me, trying to like what the hell's wrong with you? We're trying to like make you successful, you
right?
Know?
Right? Yeah.
And I'm, to be honest, I don't know. I think I care sometimes too little about, you know, standard success.
Right. Right.
But I like is making music, man. But yeah. Then at the same time, I have this dilemma of like wanting to continue just making music. You know, so it's like right. sometimes you like fight yourself, like, do I give in and like post something on Instagram every day, or do I just say fuck it and hope that
it just happens,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I hopefully I can just, you know.
Well, there has to be an in-between, right?
There has to be an in-between.
Where you post something, but then you drop the phone and don't look at it.
Yeah.
It takes so much discipline to do that.
Yeah.
It's so hard to be like, I'm going to post this and not look at it again.
Yeah.
And then turn off the notification so my phone stops ringing. And like, Yeah.
It's hard, man.
It's really hard.
I noticed, like, I just get so addicted to it. Like, I could just spend a day, like, wake up, look at my phone, scroll, fall asleep.
Right.
By the time I'm done, it's nighttime. You know, right. I've done that before. And like when I started feeling that, I was like, I do not like that.
Yeah, that was a lot of the pandemic for me.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Like, just like taking in a lot of media.
Yeah.
And then trying to create my own. But like, oh, days would just fly by. Like, oh, wow, the week's over.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's like.
It was a dark time.
Yeah. It gets dark, man. Dark. And then you start like, you get like these, I'd get like self-conscious about right. it. Like, I'd be like, what am I doing? You know, like I could be like doing something productive, you know, but
what is success to you? What do you think success is?
I guess, for me, honestly, I've always had this weird thought from like a very young age that I would die at like 30 or something,
right.
30 something.
Yeah.
So I was like, I just want to make an album.
Yeah.
Like, that's as far as I've ever thought. And to this day, that's pretty much as far as I've thought.
Yeah.
And I haven't made an album yet, but I'm in the process of it right now.
You just been putting out singles?
I've been putting out EPs and singles.
Yeah.
Which I guess EP can kind of go off as
yeah,
a, it's like an LP, I guess. Yeah, it's more of what my brain was thinking.
Like, like a 10 songs, 12 songs,
yeah.
whatever an album, the number like, is.
Yeah.
Like some, yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, since I started playing guitar, that was just like as far as I thought ahead into the future. And like I said, even to this day, that's sometimes all I can see.
Right.
And success to me, honestly, is just making that album as best as I possibly can and making it something that I'm proud of.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, after that, maybe... Who knows what the hell's going to happen to me.
Then the definition might change for you.
Maybe I won't even like do music anymore. Right. Maybe I'll go to school or something weird.
Right. Yeah. Wherever you feel satisfied by doing.
Nah, I'll probably still do music, man. I'll probably still do music. But I don't know. I just haven't. I'm just like, that's where all my energy has been focused towards.
Right.
Is that album.
Dang.
And I think I'm just in a place now where I feel like.
You can make one.
I'm ready for it. Yeah.
Yeah. How many songs do you have right now?
For it?
Yeah.
Maybe like two.
Nice. Two songs?
Yeah.
Two songs written or tracked?
Like both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you write and record at the same time? Like, do you, like, okay, it's time to write a song. Let's open up the computer and like just keep a beat going. And like, is that the process or what's your process like?
Sometimes, like, I feel like it, especially with like if I'm writing a folk song, it'll just be me and my guitar, you know?
Right.
But like, if I want to like, I feel like my the songs that I like the most are always like, you build them like Lego bricks or like, You know, you kind of like, you have this chunk of like recorded thing that inspires the next chunk, that inspires the next chunk, that inspires the next chunk. And that's like all my favorite music that I've made is like producing while I write.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the computer is open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could just because that's how I started, you know.
Like a drum loop or?
Drum loop, bass loop, typically drum loop though. Yeah. Yeah. Like a, yeah.
Like one of the fake drummers, or were you just like get like a really... I'll drum like a little bit yourself.
Both, like I'll sometimes I'll do samples.
The VSTs.
Yeah. Oh, I don't.
Those
the contact ones.
Yeah. Where are those drum? Where are those? You know, GarageBand has them where they have different names.
Oh, I don't know.
Like the rock drummer, the disco drummer. Like
all I know is contact. They have like the Abbey Road drummer.
Oh, cool.
I don't like those.
Really?
They don't. Yeah. They don't work for me.
Oh, okay.
I like a little bit. I guess you could probably make them sound cool. I've heard like Like, I've heard some Arturia drums that sound sick. Or not Arturia, sorry, Arcade.
Are they like AI drum where it's like it comes with the full beat and everything?
Oh, yeah, okay. Like AI drum. Like, you tell it how many fills and like
cool.
Arcade. Arcade has a lot of cool stuff like that. But I don't know. My favorite thing is like, honestly, just like picking samples or making samples and then throwing them in. Like, yesterday, I had recorded some drums. Like, I had just recorded a bunch of beats. I had some time in the studio. So all I did was just record a bunch of drum beats and I was working with that, you know,
nice.
and I looped a section of that and I was writing to that.
Start playing some guitar on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. Well, at what point do the vocals and the melody come in? Like, is that going the same time as everything else? Or do you put lyrics at the end? Like, where are the lyrics and all that come in?
I think it's, oh man, it's so weird. I feel like it's so different every single time. Like, because, like, once I feel uninspired with one instrument, I try to pick up another one and try to feel inspired with another one. So, like, if I don't feel inspired at all, like, with, yeah, I don't know. It's different every time.
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes I'll be inspired by a bass line, or sometimes I'll be inspired by a vocal line or a guitar line or whatever.
Right.
So, whatever I'm just inspired by directly in that moment is usually what I'll start with.
Is what we're hearing... like essentially the demo, or do you like usually demo something first and then go back and track it again, but like, okay, let's track it for real, or like what's that?
No, like? Pretty much everything I record in those moments are like the final songs. I mean, it might be different this time around because I'm locking in to perfectionist mode because you know, this is like my life goal, dream, whatever. So there might be a little bit more of like going back and like being a lot more picky, but typically no, like all the music I have out now is like all done in my bedroom, like
cool. Where you played everything. Cool.
Pretty much, yeah. There's like I didn't play the bass line on one of my songs, but other than that,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you nervous for the moment when you're finished with the album and you're like, well, this was my dream?
I'll probably cry,
and now it's over.
I'm not gonna lie, I'll probably cry. I might like put it out and then go sleep at my mom's house for like a week. Really depends, man. I really don't know. Like, I'm not gonna put it out until it's something that to me feels perfect, you know, and however long that takes. But
do you have a label right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so you do have a label that's ready to put the record out. Okay, that's good.
But we'll see. You know,
if they want it,
if they want it. How it depending on how long it how takes long me it takes, to if the music's even good to them.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Keyword to them.
Yeah.
Right. Because if it's good to you, then who cares?
But at the same time, like, I'm not worried about it, you know, like, I'll always figure it out. I mean, if I have to do something, work another job, right, for a while.
Right. Are you working right now?
Part-time? No.
Oh, cool.
I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
To not have to, they helped me with that. I got like a couple syncs last year.
Cool.
So that like is keeping me alive. But
that's pretty fun. Wait, can we say which ones? What brands were they? Were they like commercial or TV show or what was it?
It was like a bunch of like a couple random things. So I think I got three or four last year. I can't remember. One of them was in this movie on Amazon called Tiny Map of Perfect Things or something like that.
Uh huh.
And then another one was in...
So Bezos is paying you now.
Yeah, I guess so. and then another one was in a Facebook ad.
Cool.
Where I did some background vocals. But that one was probably the most. And then another one was this like clothing company.
Cool.
And they just used an instrumental of mine. And then I don't know. I can't remember. I think there might have been one more, but
that's awesome.
But yeah, that should keep me alive until next year, or keep me like you know
keep you going. Yeah,
keep me going until next year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So and then after that, I'm hoping that maybe
the record should hopefully be kind of done ish.
Yeah, to where like
you feel good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
but you know,
what about mixing and mastering? Are you doing that too, or do you send that to someone else?
I try to mix a little bit, but. I'm not as good as like my friend Colin Dupuy.
Yeah.
He mixes very well, so.
And to get fresh ears on it too.
Fresh ears, yeah. And then just like new minds, you know? Cuz right. I don't fucking know anything.
Cuz that's a bit of the creative process too, is the mix, like.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like the last.
For sure.
Almost the last. I guess mastering can be considered creative, I guess, but like I still don't know what the fuck mastering does. It makes everything -3 dB, I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea. When I master, I just throw a limiter on that shit, crank it all the way up. That's it.
That's what I do for the podcast. Just like a limiter and some whatever the preset is for broadcast.
Yeah.
On Premiere. Like, okay.
Yeah. For all my demos, when like I send them out to people to listen, I just for like the master, I literally just throw a limiter on.
Right.
Just so it's loud. Just so people can hear it. You know, it's not like one of those like really quiet.
I'm sure there's mastering engineers right now screaming.
Yeah,
listening to this, but like it's true. I don't. Most of us don't know what the fuck you guys do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt that what they're doing is very important, but at the same time, yeah. I just literally know nothing about it. So
they said you don't. Someone said like you don't know a good and bad mastering until you heard bad mastering. That's when you notice it. Usually,
I could master bad, dude.
Yeah,
I could bad master for sure.
Like, what's up with this track? Yeah. And you're like, what? Sounds good. Yeah. I should interview a mastering
person. You should, dude.
Because it's about time.
Pick their brain.
It's about time. We find out what they're doing.
Yeah, man. It's about time. Can I join you for it? I'll sit in the back. I won't say anything.
Yeah, that'd be tight.
Let's wait. You know what you should do?
I know
we should
one
get a mixing
person.
Engineer and a master, a mastering person, and have them battle for who's more important and see who wins.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then have the audience vote.
And then we have the audience vote on like what's really the most important part. Actually, I think the mix is probably the most important part.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But they would know. I know two guys where I could ask. I can ask.
Okay.
Them.
You have them fight for it. Have them like, are you comfortable with fighting each other?
Yeah.
Debate.
In a ring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dante's debate.
I'm ready, dude.
Yeah.
That's what we need. I need stuff like that. And then we'll have like a promoter and a venue owner.
Yeah.
Like battle it out. Like who's more important, the promoter or the venue?
Yeah.
You know? In reality, it's the artist. Because who hangs out at a fucking venue if there isn't a show? Yeah. Like,
unless it's like a bar, maybe.
Unless it's like a cool bar.
Yeah.
Like people hang at Zebulon just to hang.
Yeah.
But most venues, like, I don't hang out at the Echo just because I want to.
Yeah.
Like, I go because there's a show.
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't know.
Just fucking kick it at the Roxy. You know?
Absolutely. Have you played the Roxy?
Yeah, twice.
Nice.
Once.
When it was, like...
Once or twice.
Now that it's, like, cool. Because I remember playing the Roxy in 2010 when it was not cool.
Oh, really?
It was brutal.
Why? What happened?
Because it was like you had to sell tickets.
Oh, damn.
Like you have to sell tickets now, but like this is more like you have to buy these tickets and then make your own money back on your own end.
Oh.
So you had to like buy 25 tickets and then sell them to your friends, basically. And it fucking sucked.
Really?
And nobody was there. And it was just like you played a set of like seven different bands. One's a metal band, one's a reggae band, and there's just no continuity.
Yeah.
It was chaos.
Yeah.
And a lot of LA was like that in the turn of the decade, like 2009, 2000, well, most of the 2000s and then 10, and then things kind of shifted around 2011, 12, where pay-to-play was done with.
Yeah.
But for a while, they're fucking young bands over.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a young band, like, yeah, you're just paying for tickets. You want to play the Roxy, you want to play the Whiskey A Go-Go. I think the Whiskey A Go-Go is probably still like that. I haven't been there in forever. But, like... Yeah, man, they're just taking advantage of kids. And it happened in Santa Barbara too, and I did it there too. Yeah, it sucked.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, that's crazy. I had no idea. Didn't the Roxy start cool though? Like it was like,
like very cool.
Hair metal scene or something? Like was popping
super
off.
Super cool. Then there was that period where it was just like pay to play,
yeah.
And then Golden Voice buys it, and it's cool again now.
Mm.
Now they have normal shows. Like, how a venue should run it.
Yeah. Like,
not taking advantage of people.
Yeah, know? Man. Yeah. It's a crazy world. How do they work now? What is it?
What's kind of the same thing now. It's like you have decent headliners and they bring people and it's more natural and organic.
Oh,
and the reason why the shows do well is because you have good acts and like good taste versus like we're going to throw a bunch of different bands on that no one's ever heard of and hope that they sell tickets and their friends buy beer. Like,
it's just
a little bit more, you know, takes a little bit more work, but like that's how you get a better result. It's like working with promoters who bring in good bands, who have good bands open. Like, that's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Dude, I heard the Bon Iver show was like the craziest show of all time.
Really?
I mean, that might be an overstatement, but somebody's told me that, yeah.
That when he played, was it what year? Recently?
Oh, not the Roxy, no.
Oh.
No. It was like a state, I think he played the Hollywood Bowl or something like crazy.
What? Was that recently or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just thinking about shows like, but
how the music industry, like the touring industry, like really works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I heard he had it was like amazing. Like, nice. Like technically speaking and then like audibly speaking
cool.
and then visually. I don't know. I didn't see it, but I was hoping that you did.
No, I didn't. No. I saw Paul McCartney at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, no way.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
So sick.
Yeah. How does he sound these days?
Oh, these days? I saw Paul in 2010 or 11 at the Hollywood Bowl. And then I saw him again in 2014 or 15 in San Francisco at Outside Lands.
Oh,
and
cool.
Great. I like it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like a, I give people like that a pass, you know, it's like the guy's in his fucking 70s. Like his voice is going to crack. Like, you know? Yeah. Like just be happy he's here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm just happy Paul McCartney's with us today. Like that we lived in the same time as Paul. Like that's great. That's good enough for me, you know? And
Ringo just put out a new song like a day or two ago.
How do you feel about hilarious, it?
Dude. Yeah, he's so funny.
He's fucking hilarious.
How do you feel
I love
about
that
it?
Guy.
Oh, I just put this right in front of my face.
No, it's all
there
good.
We go. There
you can put it anywhere. I love it.
Yeah.
Like, am I listening to it every day? No.
Hell
but like
no.
I listen to it.
Yeah.
Like I give it a spin.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's funny, man.
It's really funny.
I love Ringo. But at
I
the
know.
Same time, that song just ain't it.
No.
Not at all.
No, not at all. But like I'll listen to it and just be like, very
you
good.
You know what's
that's
really
enough.
Fire though?
Yeah.
The Dominic Fike's cover of Paul McCartney, Kiss of Venus.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
It was very good.
Yeah, I like that idea of like Paul letting people reimagine his songs.
Yeah. I think it kind of just like proved like, oh, he's still a good writer, you know?
He's
like,
still a great writer.
Yeah, like it just maybe he's just not fully into
or maybe not being able to deliver the kind of performances anymore because of his age, you know, like can't sing the way like someone now would sing. It's like the true essence of a song, right, is like the chords and the melody.
Yeah.
And that reimagined record proves that the chords and melodies are awesome.
Yeah.
It's just, you know,
Yeah. That song was really good.
Yeah.
But you big Beatles fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like the first band when I was in the fourth or fifth grade when Beatles One came out, that compilation that's all their number one hits.
Oh, okay.
That was like playing on that commercial was playing on TV every day.
Yeah.
And I got it for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
And that shit changed my life. Really? I was like, oh man, I need more of this. And that's basically how I got into rock and roll. It's like how I got out of NSYNC, being that kid in like the third or fourth grade going to the NSYNC concert to like one holiday season, my life was changed and I loved rock and roll and I loved the Beatles.
Yeah.
And
yeah, man.
I think I started playing drums like maybe a couple years after that. It was just like,
oh, is that your first instrument?
Yeah. I played drums first.
Do you still play?
Like I go to our practice space in Santa Barbara and I'll like drum by myself.
Yeah.
But like, every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say you're pretty good or?
There was a moment like I was getting pretty good.
Yeah.
And then like,
you just stopped.
Dante kind of took over and just like writing songs. Like, so I'm pretty sloppy. I can still do some stuff, but like, I just don't play all the time anymore. And I can like play for like 10 minutes and be like winded. Before I used to play like hours.
Yeah.
It was like hour, like, you know, I was playing drums for some like punk bands and garage rock bands in late 2009 or something. And I was like in three or four different bands, like practice after practice after practice. And I was
Blast beats?
Nah, just like, you know, pretty much close.
Yeah, close to
like
it?
That speed right before you get the blast beat.
Okay.
Just like a lot of punk. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was cool though.
I heard the punk scene over there in SB is pretty big too.
Yeah, Ventura, Oxnard, That's like really big. Yeah, there's a lot of DIY stuff. It's just hard to find someone who has a house.
True, yeah.
Everyone's renting. Like, you can't throw a house show anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, man. My landlord actually told me that it was cool to throw a show.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't think I want to. Just because I don't want a bunch of people in my house.
People at your house. Yeah.
Knowing where I live, all that. It's like, giving me anxiety.
And cleaning it up afterwards, yeah.
Yeah, cleaning up.
But I haven't played a DIY show in a long time, and like, it's fun. They're so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, me either. I think I've only played a couple, but... Yeah.
Was there a DIY scene in Bakersfield?
Yeah, mostly for the punk scene.
Right.
Yeah. I'm there's not really another scene.
Right.
Doing as passionate as like the country scene and the punk scene.
Right, probably. Right.
I don't know. That's crazy. Just part of the small town.
If you play a show in Bakersfield today, would people go? Like your high school friends or who else who's left over there?
It's fucking barren wasteland after junior left.
Yeah.
After junior left, this town was nothing. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I was friends with a couple of like the like people in the punk scene and like they were actually like
supportive
fans of what I did. Right. So, which is surprising. Cause sometimes you'll get like, you know,
right.
Punk and like, that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of just like, there's only one music that exists to me.
You know? Right.
I really don't know, man. I really don't know. I haven't done it.
Are you gonna make Bakersfield a stop on your tour? Tell your agents you gotta book me one
after
night.
The album. Maybe.
Two nights in Bakersfield. Yeah.
Jerry's Pizza.
Yeah, sold out.
Actually, I think Jerry's Pizza got shut down.
Oh shit!
Like last year.
R.I.P.
I think Jerry might have been weird.
Oh shit!
Like he might have been a weirdo.
But
he was also like 90, so he might have been losing his mind.
Oh shit! There's a lot of that.
Yeah, his pizza was great though.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pizza was good.
The pizza spoke for itself.
Yeah, the pizza spoke for itself.
Jerry, on the other hand, could not.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's hard to say. I'll probably play a show there one day, but I really like going back to my hometown and just...
Yeah, how often do you go back?
Getting away. Like, I try to go once a month.
Yeah.
I like just like not even like thinking about LA or sometimes even music. I like to just be there, like in the present with my mom, my dog, my stepdad, my sisters, everybody, my grandpa.
It's important to stay grounded like that.
Yeah.
Because like, especially here in LA, like you can be caught up in industry shit for too much. Like,
yeah,
too much industry talk for a while. And then it's like, fuck, I think I need to see my parents and just
yeah,
like
exactly.
have someone talk to me like a child or something. Like, ground feed me again. Yes.
Feed me some food. You
yes.
know, get taken care of for a little bit, which I'm lucky to have.
Right?
Parents that are.
Oh, yeah. Your parents are still together?
My mom and my stepdad.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, they've been, there's like some hiccups like growing up, but like for the most part, they've been like together since I was pretty young.
What about your dad? You talk to your dad?
I don't talk to my dad too much. I guess he invested in Tesla though.
Oh.
A long time ago.
Oh.
Yeah. So
crazy.
So he might have like money now or something.
So you haven't
he's been broke my whole life. He struggled a lot with like alcoholism and in and out of jail, like, you know, the classic.
Right.
The reason I have a stepdad type
right, beat. Right, right.
Yeah.
Your mom can only put up with it for so long until it's like you gotta do something like with their life. Yeah.
You know, all the like the stereotypes of like having a dad like that. But at the same time, you know, he tries really hard to maintain a relationship, but you know, he's just done a lot of like fucked up shit, you know, so it's hard.
And you're getting older now too.
Yeah, I'm getting older, he's getting older, and I'm sure like he'll settle down, like, because I mean my grandpa did, he's like an alcoholic.
Yeah,
his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And
one you got the guitar from or a different grandpa?
No, a different grandpa, my grandpa Juan.
Yeah,
but like he settled down a little bit, like he was kind of crazy growing up, but now that in his older age, he doesn't even drink or smoke or anything, you know? Yeah, I'm sure my dad will settle down eventually, but, you know, for now, it's like, it's hard to maintain a relationship with him.
Yeah, I get it.
But I'm really close with my stepdad, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he pretty much raised me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then it's good to go back to Bakersfield and just, like, reconnect and get with your family again and, like, oh.
Yeah, my dog,
music. Dude. This, like, you know, I'm always looking for those things in my life that aren't music and aren't it isn't work.
Yeah.
And like, I do find that in video games sometimes, like, yeah. Oh, what this game? Isn't music. Like, I can play these, I can just play this game really quick.
Yeah.
You know,
what games are you playing?
I like San Andreas.
Oh, okay.
GTA, on my Xbox One.
You're playing the new version?
No, I just bought the old one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard the new version's shit.
I didn't like a lot of the renderings.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the graphics. And it looked like weird.
The renders, the glitchiness, everything yeah. looked all so fucked up.
I would be down for Vice City because I haven't played Vice City in a really long time. I think
they remastered that one too.
They did, yeah.
But it's the same thing. Shitty. Right.
Like, looks like shit.
Yeah. I don't play games much, but growing up I did. And I was really into like that YouTube like gaming culture.
Right.
Like just watching people game. So I still do that now.
On Twitch?
Not Twitch. I never got into Twitch much. I was mostly into YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah. I still kind of like keep up with games and stuff.
Oh, totally, man.
I just don't play them.
No, that's like the one thing I have now that's like not work, because now that my work is also music, mm-hmm. it's like music and work are like always like combined.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's like the one thing I kind of like, oh, just disconnect.
Yeah.
Put on a podcast or listen to it, you know.
Yeah.
A podcast. Oh man, I like a few different ones. I like this one called Your Mom's House.
Okay.
It's like with Tom Segura, the comedian Tom Segura, and his wife, Christina. And they just play like really fucked up videos.
Whoa.
And then they just like laugh at them and yeah. like, you know, like really, really weird. It's just really weird.
Okay, cool.
So I like that one.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a few. Do you listen to podcasts much?
Not really. I saw Mike Tyson's podcast, cool. The Hot Boxing. I thought that yeah. was pretty funny.
Snoop Dogg has one too. That's pretty funny too. I'm not like a loyal listener, but like
I'll,
if there's a guest on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, wow. I just like Mike Tyson's. Like, I don't know. He just looks
Did cracking. You see him punching bags the other day on TikTok?
No. Nah. What was he doing?
Fucking crazy, man. He's going to fight Logan Paul.
No way.
Yes. Apparently, that's his next fight. Like, I could be wrong, but like, that's what I've been hearing.
Holy shit. Dude, that's why I love Mike Tyson.
He's like 55.
He's always crazy. Just down to like do some crazy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He just wants to fight.
He just wants, like, I don't know if he even wants to fight. I think he's just like, he's kind of just like, a wild man. Like he owned a tiger back in the
right.
day. Like, you know, like he just lives life how he wants to live it.
Did you watch the Pauls growing up? Because I just learned about them recently. Logan and Jake. Did you ever watch their YouTube channels or anything like that?
No, I slightly kept up. I remember when they dropped that music, that rap video that went viral. And that was like when I heard of them for the first time.
Nice. Yeah. I just like barely found out about them through like boxing. And yeah. I was like, who are
they? When they fought Floyd?
Yeah.
Fought
and Floyd? I was like,
Logan.
Yeah, because before I couldn't even tell them apart. Mm. I was like, I know those guys are brothers, and I know the guy got in trouble with the Suicide Forest.
Oh yeah,
and that
yeah,
was like about that was like about it.
Uh-huh.
And then now I'm like, now I can tell them apart, and now I know which one's which. And,
yeah,
because they're so annoying. Those fucking guys, they're so annoying.
I always can't I can't tell like how much of it is an act or how much of it is like right. like business
right
wit.
Yeah,
it's hard to say. They might just be fucking crazy.
I wonder if we're ever going to get personalities like that in indie rock. Like, really, like, because
you could be it.
I'm not going to be that person. Oh, okay. I'm too old to be that person. Why you not? Could be it.
Who says, man? Who says? You could be anything you want
to
be.
I think I just like talking to people and making music. That's like what I like now. It's like I like to make music. I like to write. I like to talk to people. And then, yeah, I don't know.
Every show after this, I'm going to be like calling out Floyd Mayweather. Every show I play, I'm just like,
dude, you could be that person. I swear to God, you can do that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'll think about it. Floyd. It might be a good look. Who knows?
Dude, should indie rock bands start boxing each other in the ring? Like Fuck Mac yeah. DeMarco versus
Kenny
Kevin
Beats.
Parker. Yeah. Or someone like that.
I guess
that.
He's not indie rock, but.
But like, you know, someone like that.
Dude, I think Mac DeMarco would whoop Kevin's ass. Actually, wait, hold on. Let me think about this.
Think about that.
Because Mac's kind of like, you know, he's a little like he's
thick
a little
boy.
Thick. He's like thicky. And then Kevin Parker's like skinny.
Yeah.
You know.
I wonder who could.
But then again, Kevin might be fast. Kevin
Parker. I've never seen Kevin in real life. I've seen Mac in real life. And he's pretty tall. And he's got some reach.
Mac would win, dude.
He probably would win, yeah.
Mac would win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. What about musical? What about on a musical level? Who would win? I actually never became. I was never that big of a fan of Tame Impala to begin with.
Me either,
to be honest.
But honestly, they're so probably, big now. Probably Tame Impala. Honestly,
yeah.
I mean,
people love them.
Just like based on the numbers.
Yeah. You know. If it was like, have you seen that Verses? Where two like two rappers will just like play their hits. And it's supposed to be more of like a celebration, but it's turned into like a bit of a competition. Have you kept up on any of those?
I don't think so, no.
It's like they're doing them like in like Madison Square Garden now. Like Shaka Khan just did one.
Yeah.
They did Isley Brothers versus Earth, Wind & Fire. And they literally just like, it started on Instagram during the pandemic. They kind of just play their hits, like literally the audio of it.
Yeah.
And sing on top of it. And that'd be great to do something like that.
Kevin versus Mac.
I don't know, dude.
Maybe like, we can set it up.
If it's in a loud venue, like hearing a Tame Impala song loud as fuck probably slaps.
Yeah.
And I'm just not getting it because I'm listening to it on my phone.
Yeah.
So
I feel like the frequency range too in Kevin's songs is much bigger.
Right.
Like Kevin's like got if the you lowest saw the, lows, you know, and the highest highs.
Like but if you Max saw those kind stems. Of
like right here. Yeah. You know, like everything's right in the middle, which is nice sometimes because it's not like blasting listenable. In your face, you know, but at the same time,
a little bit more dynamic.
A little bit more dynamic. Yeah.
I think if you saw those Tame Impala stems, they're just thick chunks. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Brick wall limiters.
Right.
Like every single one of them.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I think that kind of stuff is great. I think there should be just like, I don't think there should be like competition in indie rock, but like that kind of stuff for the people who are like just been around for a while, just like have fun and goofy shit. Like, I feel like we're all touring and we're all playing, you know, recording. It's like, where's the other stuff? Where are the podcasts? Where are like the other stuff that's like every other industry's doing? Like, I don't know. It's a lot of work. I get why people don't. Honestly, I get it.
Yeah, but like, I think a lot of it has to do with like, I mean, because you look at like another DIY scene would be like the punk scene.
Right.
And I mean, it's the same thing. Like, it's because it's DIY and you do see like every now and then you'll see some like cool shit.
Right.
But I feel like, specifically with the indie, like, cause even in the punk scene, like they'll at least have like mosh pits and like crazy shit, you know, like, but with the indie scene is kind of, everyone's kind of too cool sometimes.
Right.
Which can be in any scene. That could be any scene.
That could be anywhere.
But specifically with indie, I notice it a lot. It's like being too cool and only liking very specific things.
Right.
I don't know.
I saw that early on, starting out in this band, that everyone was just too cool. And I was like, I don't want to be like that, man. If I like someone's band, I'm going to fucking tell them.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I love your band. Like, you know, it's like stuff like that. Yeah. Before it was just, I don't know. And I guess in many ways it's still like that. You're like, can't approach people or they're being weird. Or like, I remember I opened up for this band and they're like, I walked through the door of the green room and they're just like, all got quiet and didn't look at me. I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that's not like a fun show to me. Like,
yeah.
I haven't had a lot of those experiences. Luckily, I've gone on tour and people have been very nice, but there have been moments some nights where you're like, this sucks. Like, I don't think they even want us on this show. Like,
yeah.
And maybe they didn't. I don't know.
Yeah, man.
I tried not to be that way.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. My point is, I really try not to be that way with bands.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
We got to, look at the man in the mirror. Got to make a difference.
Yes.
Make a change.
Make a change. Wait, what were you going to say?
I don't even remember.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about Michael Jackson.
Okay. Are you a big Michael Jackson fan?
I don't know about big, but I do really like some of his music.
Yeah.
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 I've been like going back and listening to some of his old stuff and, just the chords are so good, right?
Yeah.
The production's like crazy.
Yeah, everything.
And then you look deeper and it's like, he didn't write the songs. It's actually Rod Temperton. And then you find out who Rod Temperton is. And it's like, oh, it's the guy from, you know, fucking Heatwave. And like, he wrote a bunch of great songs. Like,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's this white British dude who passed away a couple years ago named Rod Temperton. He wrote all those songs. He wrote Thriller. He wrote...
No way.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes.
That's crazy.
It gets another layer of like these like songwriters and producers who really just don't get that much credit, you know?
What's the one Stevie Wonder wrote? Stevie Wonder wrote a song for MJ. Oh, yeah,
he did.
I can't remember right now.
I can't remember.
But you can't help it.
Oh.
Can't help it. No, 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 no. Yeah. Yeah, Stevie wrote that one, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know, man. Yeah,
it's just maybe we gotta start doing that. Maybe that's the part we're missing.
Would you ever write for someone? Is that something you want to do? Is write for have somebody else sing your songs?
I honestly haven't thought about it. I do like producing for other people for sure. That's always fun for me. But like writing, like lyrically and all those things. No, probably not, honestly. Yeah. I feel like when I do finally sit down and write lyrics and like sing it, it's personal and it just like it. Sometimes I feel like sometimes you have to like start with the intention of like, oh, I'm going to write this song for the weekend. Right. Or I'm going to write this song for. Yeah, I usually don't do that. But maybe if I did, maybe I would feel different.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I do really like producing for other people.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything you produce for that's coming out, like, or anything that's already been out? Like,
honestly, I can't remember, dude.
Yeah.
I cannot remember.
It's kind of crazy. I've done two records now for some. I produce bands here, here in this studio. And like after the session's done, you're like, okay, I'm just like, I wonder if that's ever going to come out.
Yeah.
So I get it. I completely get it. It's like after you leave the studio and you're like, all right, guys, here's all the stems. Thanks for the pay.
Yeah.
Go mix it. I don't know. Like, am I supposed to help you with mixing? I don't think I'm supposed to help you with mixing. Like, yeah. I don't know.
It's hard to say, man. Yeah, but I don't know. I just like, it's always like fun for me. Like
producing other bands.
I always have a good time doing that. Luckily I haven't worked with any like asshole people. You know?
Have you worked with anybody who was they knew what they wanted?
Oh.
And then you're kind of like, then why'd you call me?
Yeah.
Like you know what you want. Yeah. Do it yourself. Have you had any, like, how do you balance that? Cause I've experienced that a couple times now. Like, I'm just like, sounds like you guys know what you want.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you're not interested in taking any of my thoughts into consideration here. Like,
I've definitely had that before, but in the whole time I'm just like, yeah, I feel the same. I'm just like, why? You know, like, what was the point of like collaborating if
you
already know what you want? But then at the same time, I don't know. I just know not to work with them in the future.
Right. Every time I've worked with the producer, I always like, man, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I wrote the songs. I called you because I wanted like your ideas. Same thing. Like we said with Fresh Ears, getting a producer in is that new set of ears and they can change things right before you start tracking. And that part feels so good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about we change this drum beat? How about we do this? How about we do that? Like,
yeah,
that's the kind of stuff I'm like, oh, thank God, because I've been listening. I've had this song in my head for the last year and a half. I can't look past it now. Like, and then someone shifts it for you and it's a whole new thing.
Yeah. I really like too, like when somebody just like has a really good like structure,
right?
Like they literally just change two sections around or something like that. And then all of a sudden it feels way better. Like,
isn't that weird how that works?
Yeah. So like you don't realize it until they do it. And then you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
It makes so much more sense like that.
Cause you're so wrapped in it.
Mm-hmm.
You're so wrapped in the song and you're kind of like, it's like a corn maze.
Yeah.
Until someone shows you like, actually you go here instead.
Yeah.
And this is the way out. And you're like, shit. And then you're out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. But having just like being open, actually there's a Questlove book, Creative Quest, that I was reading. And he doesn't always talk about music. It's more about creativity. Like that's like the main purpose of the book.
I have a beef with Questlove right now.
Okay. What is it?
No, I'm sorry. Go. Keep going on with the book.
Okay. But one of the things I really enjoy that book.
Yeah.
Don't know anything about Questlove. I mean, other than like surface level.
Right.
And what he mentions in the book. But, he has like a whole chapter on like collaborating that's that I think really just like is good to go back to for me, just to like remember like why I collaborate and how to collaborate and how to get the best thing out of collaboration.
Yeah,
which is good.
That's a new thing. Maybe I should read that book. Maybe I should give up the beef with.
What is the beef, man?
So Questlove, it was during one of the verses for Isley Brothers versus Earth, Wind & Fire.
Okay.
And I tweeted, I would rather have seen Kool & the Gang versus Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah.
And then he said, he like responded to my tweet and was just like, I can't remember what the fuck he said that, but it made me feel a way.
Oh.
And then after that, I was like, okay, Questlove.
That's crazy he responded to your tweet, though.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, all right. And it was just like that classic Twitter dunk or be dunked on, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I need to like dunk on this guy right here.
Yeah.
And I was just like, he's like, yeah, that's what's happening tonight. Yeah, I can't remember what exactly his tweet was, but like, Yeah, he was just trying to dunk on me. Yeah, and I was like, yeah.
You got dunked on, dude?
I was like, I know Earth, Wind & Fire is doing a Versus tonight, but I want it, instead of Isley Brothers, I want it to be cool in the game. Oh. Like, I'm just telling you a different thought. And yeah. Yeah, he was trying to dunk on me and it didn't make any sense. Oh. That's fine, Questlove. I'll forgive you. Just squash the beef here.
Just squash the beef right here, man. Questlove, come onto the podcast.
Let's talk it out.
You guys need to talk it out.
I know. We need it. This is, you know, it's so heavy between us right now.
Tag him in this. Make this the trailer and tag him in this. Questlove,
I'm sorry.
Edit the tweet like right here.
Yeah. Questlove, I'm sorry.
Come on the podcast. You have some beef with Dante. Just squash it.
It was a weird interaction, and I forgive you, and you can forgive me. Maybe I was wrong.
Maybe you were out of line. Maybe I was out of line.
Yeah. Maybe Kool & the Gang doesn't have as many hits as the Isley Brothers. Like, yeah. Who can go toe-to-toe with Earth, Wind & Fire? Maybe Isley Brothers was the better fit.
But
I'm willing to admit that.
You can only find out if Questlove comes.
That's the only way I'll admit that I was wrong.
Yeah.
Is if he comes on the podcast.
Yeah. But... Who else do you want? Who's like your dream guest?
That's a good question, man. People ask me that all the time. I think Jack Black would be awesome. I've loved him for years.
Yeah.
I think Mac DeMarco would be really great. Mm-hmm. Just because he and I are the same age. And
oh, really?
Yeah. Like days apart.
Dude, you look young. You look really young.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Mac and I are the same age and kind of like put records out around the same time. And I feel like he's always obviously been more successful. And I met him like twice, but every time you meet him, it's the first, he's met so many people mm-hmm. that it's the first time you meet him every time. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've always had like some weird connection with him, even though I don't know him.
Yeah.
But like, it's always been similar type of music, a lot of major sevenths, a lot of like chorus. It's like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like I've always connected with him. I just like to talk to him.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Man, well, maybe we'll make it happen. I saw him a couple times too, but like I saw him at Mikey's Hookup in Echo Park.
Yeah.
I was like trying to buy like something.
Did you say he had something to him?
I saw him and he's wearing this like ripped up white or striped shirt. And there's this like Great Dane or some huge dog.
Shit.
And I just looked at him. I was like, that's a big dog, huh? And he's like, big dog. And then he left. And then that's it. That was our whole interaction. And I left.
Who's your dream like artist to open for? Like, have you met anyone like that besides Mac? Like,
it'd be crazy to open up for Kanye.
Yeah, that'd be insane.
Who else? Kanye, maybe. Frank.
Have you met anyone like that?
No. I don't know if I want to.
Yeah. I don't know either.
I don't think I want to.
Yeah.
But
that's like a different level.
I like just keeping them like,
yeah,
as like fake. You know, they don't exist.
Yeah, they don't exist. They're not real people. Mm-hmm. They're just like on Instagram and on YouTube. Like, mm-hmm.
yeah. Well, they do exist, but like, from my perception, like they don't exist.
No, don't. You know?
Like, yeah. They're just like a cartoon, like SpongeBob.
Right.
It feels very similar.
They're not
which
real.
Is crazy to say. But
Kanye's not real.
He's fucking SpongeBob.
He's fucking SpongeBob. Kanye is SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Yes.
But in the similar way, like when I watch SpongeBob.
Right.
And like I can I have this weird feeling of distinguishing that from reality.
Yeah.
Same with like when I look at Kanye, which is entirely different because that is reality in a way, you know? I don't know. It's just one of those things about like seeing someone on like a huge screen in these huge stadiums. Like,
right.
That's so famous that it's like almost unbelievable.
It's unbelievably famous. He is so unbelievably famous.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gone past like being an artist and turns into celebrity. I don't know. It gets into like really weird territory of like, I'm sure at one point he just wanted to make art.
Yeah.
Just like all of us.
Probably still to this day, man.
Right. Just wants to make art. Like, and it gets swept up in all the other stuff.
Mm.
I don't know. Just got to make sure that you don't get swept up. Junior, what I'm saying, the point of this whole thing,
okay.
This is an intervention, is to not get swept up with the other stuff.
What's the other stuff?
Partying and, you know, worrying about money. I guess we'll always worry about money, but like money being a main driver in our art, I guess. Like, oh, this needs to be popping or else like, you know, the Spotify streams are going to go down and this is going to go down. It's like,
yeah.
I think we just need to like keep focusing on what's real.
Yeah.
And staying grounded and make it and stay and go to your fucking go to Bakersfield once a month. Yeah. You know, maintain that relationship and all these other things before it gets crazy for you. Because you're young. You have so much career left. Even though you think you're dying at 30, you might not. You might make it to 60. You yeah. might make it to 70.
That'd
but like,
be wild,
it's
dude.
Super important to just stay humble. And I see so many people in LA and George just like in general doing this, like who did not stay humble and this yeah. shit got to their heads.
Yeah.
And they turned and they changed.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just don't want that to happen to you yeah. or anyone really.
Like, yeah, man, it would suck if that happened. I feel like I don't want that for myself, you know?
Right.
But I guess a lot of the times when that happens to people, they don't realize it's happening to them, you know?
Right.
So if it does happen to me, you know, call me, bring me onto the podcast.
Turn I'll the drive camera you to Bakersfield and have
and
your
then
mom
just fucking
your
slap me.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know? That's yeah. how I'll know. If you start the if you don't start with a question, you start with I start with like fucking like a slap
that's
to the face.
That's how the podcast
That's how
would
I
start.
Know. Oh damn. This is what I've become.
I've become this, yeah.
I've become what we talked about 5 years ago.
All right, man. We could wrap it up. It's been an hour and a half now.
Sick.
That's pretty good.
How long is it, do they usually go?
As long as I want, I guess.
You want to see a crazy thing? Look how yeah. far I could bend my thumb.
What
back.
The fuck?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Check this out. That camera?
Yeah, that's your camera, yeah.
That's my a special ability. And my one party trick is I can juggle.
You can juggle?
Up to three. I'm working on four right now.
I have threes. There's three wrenches.
That's fucking difficult. Can you I don't know if I could do that.
You don't think you can juggle three fucking
I
wrenches?
I try, but I don't
oh,
wanna,
hell no.
I'd have to do it over there. I don't want to mess up this nice floor.
Yeah, that's probably not good.
It's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, I'll probably do
like
it.
Like oranges, that's like my main, like oranges.
When did you figure out you can do that?
I was playing with my grandma's dog
yeah.
one day, and I was just throwing the ball, and then I just decided to throw it to myself instead. So I just
that's amazing.
Started trying to learn to juggle, and I learned how to juggle over the next couple of days after that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's like on YouTube?
No, actually that one I was just like, I think I accidentally did it once and it like all of a sudden clicked.
It's a rhythm thing, right?
It's kind of a rhythm thing. It's kind of like I don't like it's one of those things that's also like with rhythm, like it's all about the feel.
Mm.
So like in my head, if I close my eyes and like think of like, how do I juggle? I almost don't know.
Right.
But like when I'm holding the objects, like I can just
it makes
do
sense.
It. Yeah. It's just like it's such a feel thing.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Damn. All right, then. Well, on that note, wrap it up. Anything else you want to talk about or promote while you're here?
No.
All right, we promote the dates at the beginning. So.
Yeah, there
all right,
go.
Then. Cool.
Promo.
Promo.
Peace. Thanks, Dante.